Very fine, Eric. Okay, we're at the starting time. And I went out to see that iridium flare tonight. You guys are hearing the beginning of a slightly crippled technical mess, meaning that the Eastern machine on 147.375 is not connected by the internet the way it usually is to the 85 machine, so people out east are going to be complaining they're not hearing us. I hear tell also that Echo Link is not there and IRLP is not there, so it's just us. So we're going to run the TechNet tonight with just the 85 machine, 146.85, LIMARC, and we'll find out if anybody is not watching the Emmys and they're listening to ham radio instead. I'm K2 Romeo India Whiskey. This is TechNet number 1100. A little bit later, you're also going to hear Space Report number 219. Let me drop. You guys have heard me say it so far. The curious people who want to know more about wireless hardware, wireless technology, they gather here and they teach each other. So this is a teaching net. It's been around now for 34 years. Started in September of 1982. A lot of water under the bridge since then. And there are people who complain that, gee, when I listen to you for a couple of years in a row, I hear repeats. You guys discuss the exact same subject. To a degree, yes. You take the word standing wave ratio, or you take the word antenna. We discuss each one of those subjects 8 times per year, maybe. And each time we discuss it, slightly different slant, slightly different words. There's a huge number of people who have only partial understanding of how standing wave ratio really behaves, how an antenna really gets designed. I'm amazed when I ask certain questions because I was in the antenna design business for a couple of decades on both military and commercial antennas with some patent filings. I'm always amazed when I take people, when I interview people who have worked as an antenna designer for 10 or 20 years, and you ask them what's going on inside of the most basic antenna in the world, a dipole. You ask them what's going on inside of a dipole, and you realize that 85% of them, so to speak, don't know. It's not their fault. The educational process doesn't cover that subject. They haven't come to the conclusion that it's important. So, a lot of improvement has to be required in the curriculum that's used in our electrical engineering schools, on the RF engineering portion of those schools.
Dick?
Go right ahead, Eric.
Yeah, I need you to do something. There are folks tuned into the IRLP. If you go over to 375 and have a quick chat with them and let them know that they're not going to hear anything.
Okay, right now, with the way my antenna is aimed, I might not be able to get to 375, but I'll give it a try. Stand by. Okay, Joe, thank goodness, Joe W2RYY just gave an announcement. For whatever reason, with the current aiming of my antenna, I must be in the null on 375. I could move it, although I'm afraid to move it. I'd like to have it peaked where it is. Don antenna rotators made by, who is it, Don rotator? Channel Master, a Channel Master rotator. It's not easy to make it give you a reference due south. It wants to make the reference due north. Well, for me, there's a whole lot of people I talk to on both sides of north. You know, the guys in northern New England and the guys in Pennsylvania. That's not the right way to do it. So I set the antenna the other way around, and therefore the mathematics of reading the degrees and figure out where I'm aimed is complicated. Let me drop. So as Joe just announced for us, W2RYY, the connection between 85 and 375 tonight doesn't exist. There's a chance it might exist later on. A repair operation will be initiated. So this is the TechNet. As I said, people gather to try to find out.
Just say one thing. they're concerned about the folks in Toronto and the other places that log on, so, you know, just saying the connection to 375 may not be clear enough for them.
Okay, Joe is listening, and maybe Joe will correct that, so Joe will tell them that maybe a repair will occur, and so the linking between those two repeaters, the repeater that they normally listen to up in Toronto, won't have the TechNet audio tonight, at least for the first couple of hours, maybe later on. Is that approximately it, Eric? K2EJ, K2RIW.
K2RIW, K2EJ. If I get the link to 375 working, then the IRLP folks will have the opportunity to hear and get back to us, because if the IRLP is connected to that machine out there, so if that connection comes back, they'll have stuff, but not for another at least 2 hours, I guess.
Very fine, Eric. Thank you for that effort. And one of the guys who frequently signs in is K2UPS, and I think he's listening to us with a kind of echo link out there in Pennsylvania and Ohio. So he's not going to hear us for the first couple of hours tonight. Is that true, Eric?
Yeah, well, if I get out there and make the link work, I can actually make echo and come in from that end of the world, but I don't hold much hope, because there's another controller that I have to put in that I haven't gotten around to, and I don't know how much time I want to spend out there, so there we go. K2RIW, K2J.
Yeah, Dick, I also went to on 9126 Reflector subchannel and told the people listening there that neither Glen Oaks or Selden is connected to the to that facility, so they won't be able to hear the TechNet on 9126.
This DPZ is it for the quickie answers.
You know what I could do, as far as EchoLink goes, I could hook the UHF machine up to it. EchoLink is working there, and they'd be able to get it. But he'd have to know to go there.
Now, there's a, by way of 9126, if Joe will tell those people 9126 that there's a chance in a couple of hours it might come back, and would 9126 and 149, 125 somehow get linked, and EchoLink get linked? Is that what you're considering, Eric? Oh, go ahead, Eric.
Yeah, well, I'd use 9125 for EchoLink, so that way the EchoLinkers could get there. Actually, they're going to look for W2VL on EchoLink. It's not going to show up because it doesn't have a connection to the outside world. But, yeah, now they're kind of stuck. I mean, you know, if we called, say, Richie on the phone and told him to go to the UHF machine, then he could join in.
I think you're telling me that K2UPS, when he dials in with his telephone, can dial into 85375 or 9125. Is that sort of true? If he knew to go there, Eric, go ahead.
Now, right now, EchoLink is not operational on 375, so he'd have to go to 9125 and he would be able to get it. That is, if I turned it on.
So I think you're telling me he's got a telephone number he dials into, which gets him to 375 or to 9125. He has
an app on his phone called EchoLink, and he just punches up W2VL and gets connected.
Can he punch up WA2KPQ?
That's what I'm saying. I can set it up so he can just punch the W2KPQ-L, yeah, dash L, and it'll be there.
Yeah, he's a smart enough guy when he's not hearing the normal echo link on 375. Maybe he knows to go to 9125 KPL, W2KPL-L. That's what I think you said. He might already know that. It wouldn't be nice to... It'd be nice to know he knows that.
It's a question of whether or not he goes there. Actually, I'm in the car, I'm driving. I just left Glen Oaks. I'm heading home to have some dinner. Maybe Pete could be here. I mean, hello, it's recording. Yeah, in about 10 minutes when I get home, I'll link that up, and then maybe he'll be smart enough to go there.
And when he does go to W2KPQ 9125, he will be there in both directions. Is that true, Eric?
That's correct.
Sounds awful good. Okay, we got a plan. We got some backup. And some backup to the backup. And good luck with that new controller. So, you got some guesses as to how the link failed today to 375?
Well, let's put it this way. Why we don't have any connection to the outside world is because there's a piece of Ethernet cable that runs from an FM radio station that supplies us with an internet connection, and it either its modem died and it's got no power in it, or the cable got cut in the long run between the two, which I kind of doubt, or it got unplugged.
Yeah, a service person might have seen a mysterious piece of cable, didn't know what it was, it wasn't labeled, and he unplugged it. I'm guessing that happens once a year or so. Is that true, Eric?
Actually, no. Every couple of years, the modem seems to fail. And the fact that it happened on a Sunday morning kind of makes me think that there was nobody there.
That makes a lot of sense. And when that modem fails, you have to be the guy that supplies the brand new modem.
Late checking.
Negative. It's supplied by Time Warner. Don't forget, it's in New York City. It's not in Nassau County.
Okay, we're about to continue with the TechNet. For those who tuned in late, we're explaining why the 375 machine is not operational. Some linking to the 449-125 machine, W2KPQ, is possibly going to take place, and that will get partial repair to the people who are not linked. So this is TechNet. We're going to take people who want to check in right now. Who is the person who said late check-in? You're the first check-in. Give me a call that has a name one more time, sir. Go ahead.
This is KC2 Queen Yankee Whiskey. Name here is Joe, and yes.
Tobio Rich, and yes.
DPZ with a quickie answer stick.
Yeah, we know you're there, Hal. Let's see, I'm also going to assign in Joe W2RYY, who is helping us out a lot tonight. So we've got Joe QIW, Rich EO, and Joe RYY. Anyone else to sign into the TechNet? Because you do have a question or a comment, please give me your call letters and name right now. T2RYW listening.
Hi, Dick. I was just listening. I wasn't checking in as far as a question. I have nothing for this 2 weeks, so you can withdraw my name from the list.
Okay. Your name is there, very lightly written. And by the time we get to you, if you think of a question, we're going to take that question. We don't check you out that easily, Joe. Okay. So I've got Joe, Rich, and Joe. Anyone else is checking because you do have a question or a comment? Please give me your call letters and name right now. T2RIW.
WS2N, Paul, what's the space report? Good evening, Dick.
Dick, I just thought of something. I can actually feed audio out. The problem that I have is audio coming back.
So it sounds like Eric has a backup to the backup to the backup with partial operation. But if it's not two-way, I imagine the guys will be a little bit frustrated. Although at least they can hear. And they won't be able to get an edge in word-wise. Alrighty. Paul, you may know that the Chinese Space Agency launched a quantum satellite, which uses mysteriously quantum coupled photons. And they're going to be talking between Shanghai and, I can't think of the name of the other town, Beijing, 1,300 miles apart, by way of quantum linked photons into a satellite. Interesting experiment if it works. Okay, maybe we'll be hearing a little bit about that. One last call. Anyone have any questions or comments for the TechNet? Give me your call letters and name right now.
Dick, on KC2WGB.
John had a medical condition last week. I told him, don't rush when it comes to coming back. Coming back is his own sweet time. So both Andy and I have had nice conversations with him, and right now all is well. He had a slightly complicated medical condition that occurred last Friday. Okay, first guy on the list was Joe, KC2QYW. Go right ahead, Joe, with your question. And take your own sweet time. We've got a light night tonight. You got it there, Joe, number one.
Roger, roger. I guess this is like, kind of like a fun question. Okay, my question is, did you sell something that you wish you did not sell? Like what I'm saying is, did any of you guys out there sell anything? I guess, you know, mostly with amateur radio equipment, and you wish that you didn't sell. A few years ago, I sold my ST Yaesu 950, and I wish I never sold that radio. But you know, I got that 3000 Yaesu radio. But that's my question to you, Dick. Back to you.
Yeah, there are people who take that Yaesu 950, or I think it's there's also a 450. 450, I'm not sure if it's Kenwood or Yaesu. They get used a lot during contests. There are people who think that those particular rigs are oldies but goodies. You hold on to them forever. Very reliable. Behave like a charm. My favorite rig when it comes to 2-meter all-mode base station rigs that has the capability of going mobile is the Kenwood TS711A. That's what you're listening to right now. This thing can go sideband. I don't think it's got AM. Sideband, FM, CW. But it's got the world's most beautiful synthesizer. Only has 31 memories. It's a 1990, I'm not sure which it is, a vintage radio. And to get the modern day equivalent of that, you're going to pay $1,500 or $1,800. This used radio you can pick up for $200, $300, $400. You get a lot for your money, in my opinion. So that 950, yeah. I at one time had another Kenwood TS711, which you're listening to, and I sold it and wish I hadn't, because I'd like having another spare, if you know what I mean. Also on the Kenwood 811A, which covers the 450 band. It only covers 430 to 450. Yeah, 430 to 450. And there's another mobile rig that Kenwood makes, 851, I think it is. It only covers 440 to 450. It doesn't go down to 432. So the fact that it's got sideband but doesn't go below 440 is kind of a strange rig, if you know what I mean. So let me drop. I know there are people who, in the early days, owned the Heathkit DX60, DX100, DX101, or whatever it's called, the HF101, 100-101. And at the time, because it was a tube rig and they started moving into solid-state rigs, they sold it. Well, when it comes to antique radios, all of a sudden those things are acquiring a lot of value. People really like going back to the good old days. When it comes to Collins equipment, almost anybody who has ever sold a Collins radio transceiver 20 years ago, 30 years ago, sort of regrets it, because today there are people who will pay very good money for a Collins, no matter what condition it's in. And there are services out there that will restore the front panel and do all kinds of updating if that's what you want to do, for guys who do that. N2EO, who we're going to get to a little bit later, has owned Collins equipment and done some pretty elaborate updating to make it look shiny and brand new. So we fall in love with our rigs. Without a doubt, it's a joke. So it's a normal condition. Don't worry. You're not strange. You're right with the good guys. KC2QIW. I bet you there's some other rigs you like. K2LIW and the Tech Man.
Yeah, roger that, roger that. Yeah, I guess I'll pass it over if anyone wants to make a comment. Something they sold, which they never did. And I guess I'll wait for next week for my other question. It's about, I guess I'll tell you now real quick, and we can wait until next week. It's about, can you, like, refuse to help someone? Like, say you're driving out on the highway, I-95, and you see someone's car on fire, and you're not sure if there's someone in the car, and like you pull over to wait for the emergency service, fire department, or the police department to show up. My question to you is, can they press charges against one of us amateur radio guys, like? Since we pulled over to wait to see, think about helping, but you think you cannot help them because the car is so much in flames that you're going to put your life in danger. So the quick question to you is, Dick, is can they press charges against us because we refuse to help? We refuse to help them. So we can wait until next week if you want.
Now that's a darn good question, Joe. The fact that you're not willing to put your life at risk to go into a burning vehicle, which maybe is going to explode and do who knows what, I don't think there's any way that law enforcement could hold you liable for that situation. You do, of course, because of your conscience, want to call emergency services to bring them there as fast as possible. So you're going to use whatever radios and cell phones and whatever you've got to call emergency services. You certainly shouldn't refuse to do that. There are people who just keep driving right on by and do nothing. Hopefully there's not very many of those, and ham radio operators, I don't think, fall into that category. But it is my belief you can't possibly be held liable for not putting your life at risk. That's your choice. Hold harmless clause. There is some kind of a law with reference to that. Like if a physician comes by and he decides not to get involved, can he be held liable? I mean, he's more... Let me drop it.
32, IZ.
IZ recognized. Going to go to you in a second, John. I think a physician is a lot more at risk of doing nothing. But a ham radio operator, no. We're not firemen. We don't have the right equipment. And the fact that you've decided not to put your life at risk is your choice. And I don't think you can be held liable for that. That's my belief. John has worked for lots of years in emergency services. Let's see, anything you know on this subject, John? K2IZ, K2RIW in the TechNet.
Yeah, hi, Dick. It's called the Good Samaritan Law. Every couple of years, I used to go to summer camp with the Boy Scouts. They teach you CPR. And anyone else will tell you, the Good Samaritan Law is passed. I mean, if you're sitting there trying to do something, no matter what, you're trying to save the person. And they say there's just too many cases of people, well, you didn't do this right, so therefore I'm suing the pants off you. It's called the Good Samaritan Law.
Yeah, if you decide to give a person CPR, for instance, and there's all kinds of ways of giving CPR, some of which could be destructive, some of which will help a lot, and the fact that you're not a trained person in medicine and didn't do it right by way of the Good Samaritan Law, I think you're held harmless. That's what I think you're saying, John. So, as I see it, we citizens have the ability to get involved or not get involved. In all cases, the good citizen law will protect us, is what I think you're saying, John. I'll bet you know of examples of where people tried to help and somebody tried to sue them. And I'll bet you know of cases where people did help and it worked out very well. K2IZ. K2IZ, and then we'll pick up the other person. K2RIW. Go ahead, John.
Like they taught us to say, would you rather, if you're laying there not breathing, would you rather I do something than just stand there and say, let's have a pool and see how long you for making the attempt to save a person's life. You know, that's about all I can tell you. Over.
And even if you were a very hard-hearted person and did nothing for whatever reason, you say, I don't want to get involved, and my lawyer has told me, don't touch a person that's in stress, in difficulty. Even if you did that, does that Good Samaritan law still protect you in that case? John, what do you think? K2IZ, K2IW.
Dick, I have no idea. Again, that's beyond my realm. All I know is, when you see something, you try and do something. You know, being out in the field, we saw a lot of stuff. And, there's the one picture back in the 70s of the guy up on the pole that had come across the wire, got electrocuted. And his partner's up on the pole on hooks, giving him mouth to mouth and keeping him alive while he's up there. So, if you don't want to do anything about it, well, you can't say anything about it. Why didn't you do it? I don't think it's going to happen. If they try, well, I don't know anymore, Dick. I just don't know anymore.
Well, you've been there and you've done that, John. Anyone else with any further information on helping an emergency situation, give me a call, letters, and name right now. K2LAW.
K2EL, Dick.
Rich recognized, and I think I heard someone else trying to break in earlier. Was there another person also? Maybe not. You got it, Rich. N2EO, K2RIW. I bet you're in Whitestone. You've seen some situations that needed aid. Is that true, Rich?
Dick, but you know what I would do? I'd pull up next to the vehicle or in front of the vehicle when I'm out of harm's way. Use the radio to call for help. And by the way, the law says that if you're a ham or whatever, they don't care what frequency you use. Out of the ham band, military frequencies, land mobile, whatever. In an emergency, you could do that.
Yeah, that's another good point, Rich. When life and limb are at risk, the normal FCC rules of not transmitting in that section of the spectrum because you don't have the right license, that doesn't count anymore. I guess a person could even go on a broadcast frequency, so to speak. What do they call that now? The satellite linking that the broadcast people use. All of a sudden, I can't think of it. There's an official name, thank you, for those. Even if you use one of those frequencies to get the message through that we're at this location and the person needs aid, I don't think you'd get any grief. I wouldn't push it to the point, though, of going on police frequencies. They're a lot more persnickety. As you probably know, let me drop it. There was a person in the New York City area who had the bad taste, of transmitting emergency-like messages that were phony on police frequencies. And pretty soon he got indicted, arrested, fined, and so on. So don't go on police frequencies if you have the ability to do that. And some of our modern radios, the inexpensive radios we can buy, they seem to go DC to light as far as what frequencies they'll transmit and receive on. So, there's lots of frequencies you can use, and my recommendation is don't use police frequencies. And with any further questions or comments on emergency communications, if you run into an accident-like situation, give me a call with us right now, K2LIW and TechNet.
KD2LVG, my name is Chris. My comment on this is, what frequency would be recommended to use in the event of an emergency?
K2IZ.
KD2, Kilo Delta 2, Lima Victor Golf is what it sounds like with Chris. Chris, you could use a hell of a lot more audio, so shout into that mic when you come back to us. K2 KQIZ has got a comment on that. Go ahead, John.
Yeah, with the advent today of cell phones, you know, as soon as you call 911, they know exactly where you're at. But if you've got the ham radio in the car, and speaking of updating people on emergency communications, I had an incident many years ago. We needed an ambulance before cell phones, and I got on a certain repeater, and I dropped the, you know, those guys in conversation, and I dropped in break, and I proceeded to get chewed out by one of the stations that, hey, Lid, you don't use break on an amateur repeater. What kind of a CB operator are you? Blah, 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 blah. And when he finally took a breath, the other guy says, wait a minute, I think he's got an emergency. I says, yeah, I'm at Eisenhower Park, field so-and-so. We need an ambulance. We have somebody with a badly broken leg going into shock. But again, I was taken to task because, you know, trying to get edgewise into the conversation, and I used break, and I got chewed out very severely for being a CB lid, so to speak.
Yeah, that certainly, certainly was a misunderstanding. But when it comes to Chris's original question, I know that someone else wants to give us that information. Whatever frequencies you've got that you think will work, there's no magic frequencies. If you've got a cell phone, 911 is certainly the right way to go. If you happen to know the direct telephone number to the local fire department, that would save you even more time. You don't have to go through the 911 operator and then to police and fire. You can go directly to fire if you happen to have their number. And so that's a good thing to try to find out. In my particular town, the Dixville Fire Department has a direct number that I could get to super fast. There was another person who wanted to give us some information. Give me a call. That is a name. K2RIW and the Tech Man.
I said with a comment on that one, Dick.
Okay, stand by a second, John. There was another person that was trying to talk to us. Who was that?
E6DPZ, I want to make a comment.
PGSC or something.
Okay, I heard Hal, and then I heard another person who said it so fast I missed it all. Who was that other person?
WB2ZSE. Hello, Dick.
Okay, CSE recognized. Hal first. K6DPZ, go ahead, Hal.
No, I was saying, if I'm up there and I see something from the air, I'll immediately go on 121.5 and I'll be able to get a copy of an emergency to put the, you know, message across. Go ahead.
As a pilot, that would work very nicely. But not many of us ham radio operators have air frequencies in our equipment. There's one person per 500 in the general population that's got a ham radio license. There's one person in 500 in the general population that has a private aircraft license. There are very few people, other than Hal, that we know of, that have both licenses. 0.2% of each is not a very big intercept. Let's see what Steve has to say. WB2ZSE, K2LIW. Go ahead, Steve.
Yeah, just a comment on direct dialing fire departments. It's not necessarily a good idea because not all of them are self-dispatching. So if you're not sure, you're better off not doing it.
That's a good piece of information, Steve. In the case of the Dix Hills Fire Department, a dispatcher is right at their headquarters 24/7. So, with the right phone number, you're talking directly to the dispatcher. But yes, there are other fire departments where that may not work. The example that I've given is that if you didn't have a cell phone, because the cell phone didn't work because you're in a particular section of, let's say, Bayville, where they only have partial coverage, and you go up to the fire department and start pounding on the door. In some fire departments, the dispatching doesn't take place from that location. There'd be nobody to enter the door. Even if you go to the police department and pound on their door, they may not let you in because they'll think you're a crazy person. All of their emergency information comes to them by way of a telephone, and they almost don't recognize anything else, so cell phones and telephones are very important. Let's see, Joe's original question was favorite rigs. Do any of you guys have a favorite rig that you once owned, that you sold, you wish you hadn't, and now you'd not like to have it back again for nostalgia reasons, because it was so pretty, because it worked so well, whatever. Give me a call, letters right now. K2RI, W in the TechNet.
2GXM, with Rich.
Yeah, Rich, WB2GXM. Before we go back to him, let me tell you that he's the guy who made this offer, a beautiful offer, of this little booklet that is wallet size. It'll fit in your wallet. It's got about 18 pages to it. And it tells you how to program a Baofeng radio from the front panel. I've used it. It works like a charm. He guarantees that it works on the UV5R radio. I've used it on three other Baofeng radios, and it works there also. And whether or not it works on Roxxon, we don't know. He hasn't guaranteed that. So if you send a self-addressed stamped envelope to Rich, to the B2 Golf X-Ray Mike, at Post Office Box 187, Floral Park, New York, 11001. You send a self-addressed stamped envelope to that address, in a short period of time, you'll get one of these beautiful little catalogs, one of these beautiful little wallet-sized 18-page or 16-page thing, beautifully printed, that tells you how to, from the front panel, program your Baofeng radio. Works like a charm. That's a beautiful offer. Thank you for that. But back to you, Rich. To B2GXM, K2RIW.
K2RIZ when you get a chance.
K2RIW on the TechNet, WB2GXM. Thank you, Dick. Actually, you know, it's not 18 pages. It's a four-sided folding card. It's a reprint of the Rochester Amateur Gazette article that appeared that you directed us to. So it's a tiny little card, but it's good for the UV5R, for the Baofeng. And concerning the question about selling, I'm sure you've heard me say in the past that I built the DX60B and the companion HG10B Heathkit VFO when I was a preteen in the 1970. Somehow, before I graduated college, those two pieces disappeared. Either I sold them, or I was persuaded to sell them, and I regret it very much. I poured a lot of love into those two pieces, and I've been trying to make up for it all these recent years on eBay ever since. WB2GXM.
Joe, I said recognized, get you in a second. Rich, my guess is that was one of your early Heathkit purchases. You put it together, did all the soldering real neatly, built it with 10 to 11 care. So you had a lot of affection for that particular radio. And let's hope that you find one somewhere on eBay to get another one back. Is that approximately it, Rich, WP2GXM, K2IW?
Dick, they were immaculate. They were soldered together so well. They were clean. I didn't let a piece of dust fall on them. I don't know why I let them go. I regret it. But I'll satisfy that longing sooner or later. Thanks for all the great stuff from the TechNet. K2RIW, WB2GXM.
Hey, thank you, Rich. Joe, K2IZ, go right ahead.
Yeah, Dick, I just was trying to throw something in there at the end with the emergency thing. As one of a few people that built the original E911, Dom 911, under the old system that was using a 202T modem, that speed 1200 bit. As soon as you call 911 before you hear the phone ring, the dispatcher has on their display your name, your address, your phone number, your fire district, and everything. And with the way the system was set up, I don't know about new, all you have to do is say, I need an ambulance, and it's a one-button transfer, and the call is transferred immediately. I had a problem with Copaic Fire Department. They said it took 20 minutes, and when I dared several of the chiefs to place their home mortgages on the table to cover the bet, they wouldn't do it. But again, just for everybody out there, as soon as you call 911, I don't know how the new system works with the mobile, but as soon as you call 911 from the house phone, you have a display up on the dispatcher's screen immediately telling, you know, name, address, phone number, and fire district, and everything else, and everything's one button transfer. Take over.
It does sound, John, like the 911 system has gotten rather sophisticated. Once in a blue moon, they do have a fault, and we've seen a couple of news reports on that. I suspect those are very rare. Is that true, John?
The technology I just gave you was the late 90s. That's when we first built E911. And myself and a few other guys in our gang went through and basically sanitized the system. We would go out and make test phone calls from all areas, like Amityville, went to Amityville Village PD. Town of Babylon went to Town of Babylon. Village of Northport went to Village of Northport. Shrokin went to Village of Northport, so forth and so on. So again, I'm talking late 90s technology, back when they were using those old slow modems that they're going.
Sounds like 911 is the right way to go, right off the bat. There was a news report of somebody having a very long time to get an ambulance in New York City because of miscommunication, language barriers, and so on. You're fairly sure that every single cell phone, even if it was one of these throwaway cell phones that somebody bought, my guess is when you call 911, at least they know your location. But if it's one of these throwaway cell phones you bought that's unidentified, they might not at that time know who you are, but they know where you are. And as long as you give the right message that sounds credible, I'm pretty sure you get the right response. Is that true, John? K2IZ, K2IW.
Matt Dick, I'm 6 years retired from the company.
Central Queens, I'll wait for you're done with this topic. I have the radio that the person is asking for.
Okay, you're going to go to the top of our list right away, George. So you own a DX60A or whatever it was that Rich KB2GXM is pining for. Give us some information, George. KD2FIU, K2IW in the TechNet. You came in at the right time. We're looking for you.
No, I was listening to the whole call, and I was trying to break in, I have a DX60B and matching HG10VFO, has not been turned on in 45 years, was put together very, very, very cleanly. I have it in storage. I was a novice for a short period of time, And I never continued in radio at the time because I took a job in AT&T Long Lines, which in itself was my answer to being in telecommunications. I was just overwhelmed with what I was doing. I loved it, and I packed the radio away, and I still have it, and I have not fired it up since then.
Fantastic. That sounds awful good, George. Before I turn it back to Rich, WB2GXM, and by the way, his little manual for wallet size programming of Alphong radios is 8 pages. I exaggerated by calling it 16. It's 8 pages, but very well done. George, what's the easiest way for Rich to get a hold of you? Email address, if he goes to QRZ.com, probably your address is there. So maybe when you want to give a phone number, maybe you don't. So before I go back to Rich, George, what's the easiest way for George to get a hold of you? KB2FIU, K2RIW in the TechNet.
This is for KB2GXM, Rich. Email to radiofever@att.net. I'll check in tomorrow morning on that address.
Okay, radiofever@att.net. Let's see if WB2GXM needs any fill on that. Over to you, Rich. WB2GXM. Looks like you're about to get a radio. You got it, Rich.
A2RW, WB2GXM. George, you are KD2FIU at Radio Fever, RadioFever at att.net. Copy?
Well, Rich, my call is KD2FIU. The email is radiofever@att.net. No prefix of a call sign. The entire email is radiofever@att.net.
Copy, George, and thank you. And thank you, Dick. I'll get to you tonight, George. WB2GXM.
And, George, do you want to give an email address, phone number, or whatever, just to be double down sure so that George can get back to you? So, Rich, is there anything you want to give? It's your choice. WB2GXM, K2RIW in the TechNet.
Dick, the email would be Whiskey Bravo to Golf X-Ray Mike at ARRL.net. That's WB2GXM at ARRL.net. Thank you, WB2GXM.
Okay, as I see, you two guys are well connected. Lots of ways you can get to each other. And it looks like that rig will be traveling to you fairly soon. And these guys on Long Island, they help each other. And that rig sounds like it's been gathering some dust, and it's about to get a warm home where Rich is going to feed it nothing but cookies and milk, and he's going to speak to it in soft, soothing tones. George, he's made that promise to us. I'm joking a little bit. Okay. Some of these rigs are very enjoyable. Rich, N2EO, what would you like to discuss tonight? How those electrons in Massapequa are treating you. N2EO, K2RIW in the TechNet.
Okay, Dick, before I go on with my question, once he gets that radio, I think, I think you'll agree with me, it hasn't been used in so long, he should bring it up on a Variac, and if he doesn't have a Variac, let it cook with a couple of light bulbs in series with the line to reduce the voltage. What do you think, Dick?
Yeah, there's a 50-50 chance that the electrolytic capacitors, after all of these years, have dried out or became unformed. There's a kind of a forming procedure that goes on with the plates inside that capacitor. So bringing up the voltage, the high voltage of that rig slowly, could reform the capacitors, and there's a 50-50 chance they're going to be in good operating shape. If not, if that doesn't work, and by making sure you're not creating a short circuit by having series light bulbs or variac to bring it up slowly over the period of a day or so. If at worst your electrolytic capacitors no longer have the right number of microfarads, have internal shorts, occasionally they do this when they've been sitting idle for a long period of time. Replacing those electrolytic capacitors is not a big deal. Let me drop. Now, quite possibly, Heathkit had a very specific brand of electrolytic capacitor, a kind of a can that mounts through a phenolic mounting device in a hole in the chassis, and that can sits up there very nicely. It has some specific number of microfarads. Maybe it's a dual capacitor inside that can. You know, it might be a hundred, two hundred microfarad capacitors, for instance. It might be. And you might not be able to find the exact same physical part. And now you've got a choice. If the capacitor that's there is not a short circuit, you don't have to remove it. Just choose any capacitor you can get your hands on that has the right number of microfarads and the right number of volts, of working voltage, and put it in parallel with the one that's there. Quite often that works very well. And you'll be mounting that on the bottom of the chassis, most likely. It won't be quite as pretty looking, but you're looking for function here. It doesn't have to be the exact original capacitor, which may be a manufacturer that no longer exists. Let me drop. And if the original capacitor was, say, 100 microfarads at 600 volts, and the only one you can get a hold of is 150 microfarads at 600 volts, don't worry about it. You'd like to not go low microfarads, to go higher in microfarads within reason, nothing wrong. To go higher in working voltage, nothing wrong. If the original capacitor was 600 volts, don't put a 450 volt capacitor in there. Make sure it's got the right working voltage and the microfarads to do the filtering for the power supply. There's a minimum you'd like to go above. You don't want to go below that minimum. It's not going to blow up and explode, but you might have some hum on the signal you're transmitting if you have too few microfarads. So,
comment, please.
Yeah, comment, and we'll get to you in a second. So, restoring your capacitors, good chance. And replacing those capacitors, the super safe way, of course, would be to unwire the one that's there and wire in your new one. And maybe your new one is going to be a tubular capacitor with axial leads coming out of it that you're going to mount below the chassis, just as long as it's in the right part of the circuit. It doesn't have to be the exact physical can that was there, which in some cases is hard to find this many years downrange. Comment, please. Give me your call letters and your name. K2RIW in the TechNet. My name is Dick.
Thank you, Dick. This is George again, KD2FIU. I would expect somebody to do a low voltage fire up on this and then bring it up, because my belief is, and I've seen people do this with other radios some years ago with very old radios. I'm talking around 1970 when people were doing this with much older radios. It would sound if they didn't do it, it would sound like somebody lit off a bunch of super jets in a garbage can. It would be whistling away, and you'd be burning those capacitors. I would only hand it off to somebody who had that vigilance and understanding to be a very caution firing up and possibly expect to change some capacitors and possibly expect to do an alcohol listing on some of the open air condensers, capacitors, okay, condensers show my age, that are in there. So, you don't just take it and plug it in after 45 years. And by the way, the receiver matching with it, which I still have, is a 1939 Holland HQ120X, which had a restoration article in one of our two big magazines about a year ago. KD2FIU.
Yeah, there's quite possibly more than one rig you're going to be interested in when you and when George and Rich get together. And to be super safe, the nice way to do it is slowly raise the voltage with a variac with a light bulb, 110 volt light bulb in series, so that even if at worst something becomes a short circuit, moderately good chance the original, electrolytic capacitors will become reformed and work like a charm. But when they've been sitting there and have unformed their plates, and you try to hit them with the high voltage immediately, all kinds of funny things can happen. So there's a art and science to restoring electrolytic capacitors. I'm reasonably sure you've heard things like this before, George. We've discussed it a few times on the TechNet, and if need be, we can even discuss it a little bit more right now. WB2GXM for any words on this. K2LAW, go ahead, George. Rich.
WB2AHK.
WB2AHK, go right ahead. Start off with your name, sir.
Hi, Dick. This is Chet, T-H-E-T. I'm in Floral Park, not too far from Rich. And getting around right now to lighting up my room, things I'm never gonna, projects I'm never going to work on in this lifetime. I have three DX60s, good for parts. If you need any, you can have all three. And I also have a Variac, a very heavy Variac, a good 20-amp Variac. So if he wants to borrow the Variac, he's quite welcome to that. Over.
Gee, that sounds awful good, Chet. Chet, give me a call there again. WB2HKZ, was it? Go ahead.
Okay, Dick. This is Chet. Whiskey Bravo 2, America, Hotel, Kilowatt, AHK.
Not your fault, Chet. I have trouble reading my own writing in this particular case. Okay, so you've got DX60s. Yeah, sounds like you're down to your last two or three of them. So, there are guys out there who collect these things. And so Chet is another one of them. What's the easiest way for Rich to get a hold of you, Chet? If he goes to QRZ.com, does he see your address? Does he go to ARRL.net or a phone number? What's the easiest way for Rich to get a hold of you? WB2 Alpha Hotel Kilowatt, K2LAW TechNet. You got a chat.
Pretty simple, AOL with my call letters. WB2 America Henry Kilowatt at AOL. I had ideas I was going to hi-fi them and all kinds of things, but I got too many things to do and I'm getting too old to be taking on any more of these projects. I have a room full of stuff and it's time to downsize. I'm never going to get to do any of these things. I could see it coming. So if anybody needs any parts for DX60s, I'm available for free. You can have anything you want. So serious people, you know, who really want to fix a DX60 and not to put them on eBay or something like that. So if you need any parts, they're free. You can have one, you can have two, you can have three, it doesn't matter. And start to clean out the shack here so I can repaint the place. Got to move some things out, Dick. Go ahead.
Pretty fine, Chet. Fantastic offer. The price is right. Can't go wrong with that one. And Floral Park is an easy place to get to for us who live on the island of Long. I can always have a lot of fun by asking people who live on Long Island, how often do you get to the mainland? And they got a funny look on their face. They think they're on the mainland. That's the only island is Fire Island. Okay. Let's go back to Rich. I'm not sure if we covered Rich's original comment, question, or whatever. N2EO. K2LIW, go ahead, Rich.
I did want to ask my question, but first I'll say to the gentleman, he can go to a website